SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Packers won again, but guess who's injured again, Mike? It's Jordan Love.
Yeah, it's been a weird year for Jordan Love, right? This is the second time now this season that he has left injured out of a game, and Malik Willis, well, he did finish the Eagle game because the injury happened on the last play of the game, but Malik Willis came in and finished this job out for the Packers, and he actually didn't do a bad job. He won them some games earlier this season. He helps rally them to win as well in Jacksonville, 30-27, as the Jags gave them all they could handle down there yesterday. Here is Packer head coach Matt LaFleur afterwards talking about the Love injury and the job Willis did.
I do not. No idea. But obviously, high level of concern anytime the guy's in there. And he did it early in that first drive. And I think everybody could see him struggling to move around, and it got to a point where we didn't feel like, and he didn't feel like he could protect himself. So went with Malik, and can't say enough great things about Malik Willis, the job that he's able to do to go in there. The moment's never too big for him, and he made a lot of big-time plays in this game, not only with his arm, but his ability to had a big pickup with his legs. I'm just really proud of our guys.
Proud. So they just keep winning. I know that. I know as well that once you have that groin, man, you are done.
Yeah.
Like you just can't run with it. It's brutal. Like it's searing pain. I've had it, and it is not fun. I mean, you just can't run. it really hurts bad. Like it's like a knife in your onions.
Now, they say, this came out about an hour ago, that the MRI came back with some good news, allegedly. Strained groin.
Sure.
Nothing major. There's never anything.
Even walk.
There's never good news when you have any kind of groin injury. It's never good news.
He went over to the sideline and he collapsed.
And it's an unfortunate time for them, because even if it's not major and it is something that's not going to be very long term, they're still playing their biggest game of the season this week, okay? And I know they've gotten by in some of these games without him and having Malik Willis in there and running this kind of crazy offense where everybody's running the ball, him, Jacobs, Reed, everybody's kind of running it all over. That's not going to work with the Lions on Sunday. And they're playing the Lions on Sunday, and I don't think that'll work, Scotty, the Malik Willis offense against that team. Game is in Green Bay. The game is in Green Bay.
I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care either, to be quite honest with you. That's because the Lions, they don't lose. And one last thing from that game, the Jags also just keep losing guys every week. Christian Kirk, season-ending broken collarbone. They suck too, the Jags. Even when they have a chance to win the game, they can't get it done. Their season's definitely over. So we mentioned the Packers will face the Lions this week. The Lions have been smashing teams on a weekly basis now. It's just smash city for them, especially at home in Detroit. This game was tied at 14 at one point, and then the final was 52-14. And the Lions they didn't even have a great day offensively. They had tons of big plays on defense and big plays on special teams on Fox.
First three and out this afternoon for the Titans. Ryan Stonehouse, excellent punter. Raymond from the 10-yard line. Raymond has one terrific return already today. Looking for a second. Raymond up the sideline, across the 30. Khalif Raymond, goodbye.
Wiz Khalifa. All I know is the Lions are the best team in the NFC. They've won five in a row. Goff threw three tutties. Game over.
Game over, indeed. The Lions are 6-1 for the first time since 1956. That was during that pre-Super Bowl era that everyone loves
That's
to talk about, where they had
championships.
Pre-Super Bowl championship time for them. St. Brown had a touchdown, his fifth straight game with one of those. Early line I'll give you today. I know we usually start doing this tomorrow. They have the Lions right now as 3.5-point favorites in Green Bay on Sunday. That's a 425 East game. With, as we said, we don't know what Jordan Love's status is going to be, but it's probably not going to be very good.
Yeah, I'm on Detroit already on Monday here. No questions asked before it gets any worse, because I think they can beat them by a tutty or more.
I think they can. Yeah, I think that they could beat them by a tutty or more as well. The NFC South is also starting to come into a much clearer picture. That after the Falcons beat the Bucs.
Sweet.
31-26. Second time they've beaten the Bucs in the last couple of weeks. Bucs, of course, were missing a lot of their big offensive pieces, but they still hung around in this game. But Kirk Cousins throwing four tutties, including his last one to Bijan Robinson on Fox.
Cousins pumps it. He's got Robinson, and he's got all the space in the world to walk in for a touchdown. Fourth touchdown pass of the day for Cousins, and it's the largest lead of the day on either side.
I think Cousins has already earned his contract, and they're not even at the halfway point. Like, literally, he's changed the Falcons from a loser to a winner overnight.
So the Falcons are now 5-3, and the Bucs are 4-4, but they've already beaten the Bucs twice. So they really have a two-game lead on them, yep, when you think about it. And the Bucs aren't going to have Evans, Godwin, etc., for the next few weeks. So the Falcons now, Scotty, have a chance to, you know, they got to extend there in that NFC South and maybe run away and hide a little bit, considering the rest of the division sucks too.
The rest with is Carolina even worse. Carolina's the worst team in the league, and the Saints have lost six straight. They're finished.
Tampa, the next 2 weeks, plays Kansas City and the 49ers. So they're 4-4 now. Don't have their offense, and they're going to be playing those two teams
the
next few weeks.
At least they had the creamsicles
rocking. Those were sweet, right? I mean, when they wear those orange creamsicles, those are the best. They should go back to those permanently, full time. The Texans beat the Colts 23-20. A few things I wanted to talk to, because I was on the Colts yesterday, so I was intently watching the end of this game, which Houston did try to give them outright. Anthony Richardson, Scotty, he sucks. All right, let's just lay that. Let's lay that right on the line.
I've always thought
And Steichen finally today, I just saw, is starting to change his mind, change his tune a little bit, because I think if Flacco plays yesterday, they beat Houston, and they win that football game. And they play Sunday night this week against the Vikings. They got moved to the Sunday night game. And he said today he did not commit to Richardson being the starter. So I think he's finally starting.
Did you see the guy, like, quit in the middle of the game?
He was tired.
Tired?
He said he was tired. He was tired. He needed
not
a break.
Tired. You're not tired when you're 22, okay? I get tired when the wind blows. But I'm not, like, you don't see me tapping out. Bottom line is, that guy quit in an NFL game. He's the starting quarterback, star quarterback. And he quit in the middle of a game. He would no more play this week than fly an effing kite if I were running that team. That'd be it. He'd be sitting on the bench and Flacco would start. I have told you repeatedly on the show that Flacco's better anyway. Flacco's way better than Richardson. Richardson has a great athletic body. That's it. That's it. And Flacco's actually a quarterback.
For every – he does make flashy plays, but for every flashy play he makes – he makes two or three ones that are supposed to be easy not happen. Like, you can't turn the ball over the way that he did in that game. He was 10 for 32. Like, 10 for 32. That was a winnable football game that they had against Houston, and they completely let that go. And that's why Steichen's going to be changing his tune. One bad news for the Texans, Scotty, who, yes, they're 6-2. Diggs left that game, Stephon Diggs. There hasn't been any word today, but that could be a significant injury for Stephon Diggs.
A shame.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I think Mafia's youngest daughter actually was the one that did the statue of Dwayne Wade. She made the statue of Dwayne Wade down in Miami. I thought she did a hell of a job, the kid. But there's a lot of people that are making fun of it. But this is a young little girl that has tried her best, and I thought she did a fantastic job. And I, for one, am on her side on this.
What has happened recently to the art form of the statue making with in sports? Like, I feel like the last few statue unveilings that we have seen have really missed the mark. And you go and look at some of the statues from back in the day. Like, we saw a lot outside the Crypto when we're out in LA. They had all, you know, the Gretzky stuff and the Shaq and all. Like, those statues look good. You go to statues anywhere else. You know, what has happened? Did the new sports making statue company change business owners? Like, what? These are just all awful remnants. Like, what happened? That Dwayne Wade statue is ridiculous. It just is. And he's standing there looking at it like, what am I looking at here? What is this? Like, I don't know. It's just go away from the statue.
For him to like pretend like he liked it.
See better statues that were made in like the Roman Empire days. Like, why can't we make a statue? It's 2024. Like, you go back and you look at great statues, works of art from hundreds of years ago that have better definition. The Dwayne Wade, the Kobe's. What are we doing?
I don't know.
Statue maker. Like, can we please find someone who knows how to make them?
This is an opportunity for somebody. There's a big opening. There's a huge opportunity.
There is. Somebody's got a chance. I make good statues. These sports leagues should hire me. These arenas and these teams should hire me. I make the good sports statues. Chargers beat the Saints 26-8. This game was completely unwatchable. It was like 5-3 at the half.
I watched.
Very tough. But I watched because I had the under, which was a good thing for me. Justin Herbert getting involved.
Orange Herbert.
Starting to get a good connection with the rookie. Ladd McConkey on Fox.
The last few weeks, they're looking a lot better.
Herbert. Sideline throw. And the catch is made.
Wow.
It's Ladd McConkey. He took it away from Alonte Taylor. And McConkey is in for a Charger touchdown. Wow, what a play.
Did you see the guy, number 75, protect him when that Saint player tried to pretzel him on the ground and break his ankles? Yeah. And then that lineman jumped on top of that guy,
Bosman,
and just started. Who did it? Who was it?
Bosman. Bosman,
oh,
I believe,
God,
it was.
He put a beating on that guy. I mean, that was awesome to protect his quarterback like that. He really gave him the business.
It was a cheap shot. Like, that was a cheap shot by that guy on the Saints. So I completely understand that from that guy. But, wow. Chargers now in pretty good shape. They are 4-3 now in the AFC West. And they would have the last spot in the AFC playoffs if the season ended today. They could still use a little bit more offense, though, if you were asking me. Meanwhile, also in the AFC West, Scotty, how about the Broncos now? After starting 0-2 this year, they are now 5-3,
right,
with rookie quarterback Bo Nix, 277 and 3 touchdowns yesterday. He also ran a touchdown in as the Broncos beat the Panthers. I get it, they were playing the Panthers, but still 5-3 for the Broncos, Scotty. Very good shape here in what's been a spotty AFC.
Yeah, and I had the over 41, which was delicious that it landed over. And look, I think they win with defense, and obviously the one thing I noticed in the game was their defense is spectacular and how bad Bryce Young sucks. I mean, this guy, and I was thinking during the game, I'm like, this guy is legitimately the biggest bust number one draft pick quarterback ever. He's worse than DeMarcus Russell, isn't he? He's worse. He is. He's terrible. He is absolutely the worst number one draft pick in the history of the NFL. Who's worse than him? Tell me who it is.
Yeah, I mean, when you start talking about quarterbacks, especially over the last 25 years, everybody always loves to go to Jamarcus Russell, but this has not been pretty. This has not been pretty from Bryce Young, what he's put together. And I don't know if it's gonna, if he's one of these needs a change of scenery guys. Maybe it'll work better somewhere else. He's so, like, there's guys who are small, and that was his big thing coming out, right? He's a small guy. Is he going to be able to handle that? We've seen some smaller quarterbacks succeed in the league. But, like, he doesn't look like he could do anything. Like, he's not super mobile. He's not throwing the ball well. It just, nothing looks right.
I'm not in real estate. You know what I mean? Like, he's got a lot of money. I think he could do really, he's a pretty boy. I think he could do well selling expensive condos and such in Southern California or in Miami. Like, he should get into another business. His football career is shot. He is awful. Who in their right mind would want him right now? You say change of scenery. Change of scenery. Change of career. His career's over. He is awful. He looks like, all you have to do is look at his face in his helmet when he's playing. He looks like he'd rather be anywhere else.
Yeah, it's really tough to take, that's for sure. And I was trying to look and see at the list of the number one overall quarterbacks, and it's, yeah, he's there's the really top. No one you and could I'll say.
If he's playing, if you know that he's playing in a game, run to the window and bet against him. It's automatic money. It is automatic money. I mean, it is like they'll give you the money up front. The sports book. They'll just give you the money in advance.
Like even some of these other guys, like at least they played a couple years before they flamed out. Like Tim Couch played a couple years. David Carr played a couple years. This guy's in the middle of his second year.
They were way better than him.
And he looks finished. Like he's got no like Russell. Russell didn't last very long.
I saw Tim Couch lead the Steelers in a playoff game by 20 points at halftime. I mean, yeah, this kid is the worst player ever. The worst player ever.
Very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Carter Hyde just said in the break that he's disappointed in me that I'm not in Pittsburgh tonight for the G-Men Steeler game. He said it's a weak effort. He said at least Morenci went to the Dodger and Bills games and didn't make it home. You didn't even go at all. But I would have made it back. Like the last time I made it back, damaged, but I made it back. You get damaged plan. You got to have recovery. Takes a couple of days to snap out of it when you haven't slept for 4 days. You got to have recovery. Oh, but I didn't go tonight. You know, I'm always thinking of Sports Grid first. I knew that if I went tonight, there was potential that I'd have damage tomorrow if I return back to the Sports Grid airwaves. And I need to be sharp on Sports Grid at all times. So I did not
all
go
times.
To the game. I sold the tickets.
You're going
first, always. Put Sports Grid in front of everything. Family, religion.
You're going to the better game anyway in a couple weeks when they play the Ravens. That's the better game to go to than this Giant game that they're playing tonight. Week 8 does conclude in Pittsburgh at the place the Steelers play. Giants and Pittsburgh. We, of course, always start whenever the Steelers are going to play. We have Mike Tomlin's weekly words of wisdom. Tonight's entry comes from him talking about the improved Steeler offensive line. I can't wait to hear what kind of word salad Mike has for that.
I think that we're just still finding our footing in terms of what we're capable of and what we're able to manage schematically because we just hadn't had real consistency within the group. Those are strong questions that we're pondering week in and week out. We don't carry things just to carry things. To be quite honest with you, we carry things if we need it. We're still determining whether or not the schematics and the talents of the Giants require a big menu or not this week. But that's questions that we ponder week in and week out. It not only is relevant to our state, but the schematics and the talents of the people that we play.
I think he's using schematics way too much there in that brief, honestly.
We don't carry things just to carry them. That was a good one too that he threw in there. We don't carry things. We don't need a big menu this week against the Giants. He's got some good ones, man. Tomlin's great. Whenever he talks every single week, it's just outstanding. On the other side of the coin, we have the Giants and Daniel Jones, and things have not been going very well for them. They have looked putrid the last couple of weeks. Last week, he didn't even finish as they brought Drew Locke in. Not that he did much better. Jones hopes to bounce back this week against one of the best defenses in the NFL, the Steeler defense.
We went over the game, watched the film, spoke about the game. You know, I'll leave a lot of that private, but, you know, like I said, I'm getting ready to play Pittsburgh. Obviously, no one's happy about the way the game went last week. I think there's a number of issues that we're all working to address and improve, and that's what we got to do. So starting with me, and I'm taking that approach, but we're moving forward this week, and I think that's our mindset.
I swear to God, if they lose to this crappy team, between the Yankees and the Steelers, I can't have another bad night. I really can't. I mean, I may start chewing glass. Honestly, I can't take it. The Steelers have to beat this team. They're another one that sucks. They suck. And I don't want to hear it. Like, week to week, they can barely move the ball. They can't score. And it doesn't matter if they have neighbors and Jones and everything. They don't do anything. The entire season, all we've seen is Dable making excuses for why they suck so bad. And they never win. And they don't score. And they don't move the ball. And they don't have big plays. So now all of a sudden, what, they're going to have them tonight in Pittsburgh against one of the best defenses in the league? Come on. If that happens, the game's fixed.
Well, Daniel Jones in primetime, as you know, this gets talked about all the time. 1-15.
He's done
straight up for Danny Dimes in primetime, and he's 6-10 against the spread. The Steelers haven't lost a Monday Night Football game at home since 1991. Russ is 3-1 against the Giants, although I did see this afternoon. Russ's net last nine games of a favorite of three or more. He's 3-6 straight up and 0-8-1 against the spread. Lots of conflicting trends for you here tonight in this Monday. Here's
they
the trend that I got.
A Monday night game at home since 1991. Honestly.
The trend is this. Steelers are good. Giants suck. There's your trend. Slap that on the table. That's what matters tonight. There it is.
Honestly.
That's
let's
it.
Go. And then
that's all that matters.
Buy. You got to win the game before the bye.
Always.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so the numbers on this game tonight in Pittsburgh, and I'm stressed out. I can't have any kind of shenanigans tonight. I need a Yankee win, I need a Steeler win, and I am not going to be pleasant to be around if anything else happens otherwise. I'm not even interested in the Steelers letting the Giants be in this game or cover. I don't want any of that either. What is it, five and a half? I need them to win double digits and spank that ass. Do the same thing.
That's what they should do.
Last week. That's what they should do.
They are now 6-point favorites tonight up to this second. At this second, it is six.
I laid 5.5, whatever, last week. Or, you know, beginning of the week, whatever day it is.
I would still lay the six. 36.5 is the total in this game.
It opened at 3.5.
I believe so, and it's drifted.
I think I got it at 5, not 5.
It was in the 5 early last week. Absolutely, it was in the 5 range as it's climbed to 6 now. I think this is a job. I think this is the Steelers lay it, and the only thing with the total, I know it's 36.5. I think it's an under just because I don't think the Giants are going to score any points. I legitimately don't think they're going to score any points tonight. So
Steelers have scored 32 and 37 the last 2 weeks, so I think they're scoring 30 on their own.
33-0 under 33-0 under will be the win for the under then. 33-0, 31-0, 34-0, somewhere around there, I suppose, is what we could go with. I don't
the number. Why'd you say it is 35 and a half?
36 and a half. 36 and a half.
It'll be 36-0.
It'll be. Here's the
33-3.
The player props for tonight. George Pickens over 24 and a half, longest reception. Everyone's on that after all the deep balls rushed through him last week. Harris over 62 and a half rushing yards. Pickens over 59 and a half receiving yards.
Yeah.
Wandale Robinson over 35 and a half receiving yards. And Russell Wilson over 201 and a half passing yards. The most bet props.
Automatic.
For tonight. Usually when I give you the touchdown props for the game, I try to like be fair and sprinkle one in from both sides. You know, we get a little flair. I'm not doing that tonight. I have all Steelers on my card. Friermuth for the first study at 11-1 for Friermuth. Pickens at plus 185. And remember, play Friermuth as an anytime as well, not just for the first. And yes, I told you last week we were doing this tonight, and we are. Steeler D at plus 650 to get a score tonight off of the Giants. So Friermuth first study, Pickens anytime, Steeler D for the long ball at plus 650.
Give me a Najee and a Washington tutty as well. Everybody getting to eat.
Wow, everybody going to eat tonight for the Steelers and the Giants. I mean, Washington, that is a pretty penny if you want to get involved with him. Where is he here? 11-1 for Darnell Washington this evening. That's any time, by the way. That's for any time. He's 11-1. So Steeler football.
He likes throwing
against the G-men. He does like throwing to him. I will agree with you.
300 pounds.
6'8", 300 pounds. A very, very big man who does have a touchdown already this year. What do you have in the Denver game? He scored a touchdown for them. So anything is possible, that's for sure. All right. So there's your NFL, Steelers and the Giants this evening. Next, also going on this evening is Game 3 the World Series in the Boogie Down Bronx for the Yankees and the Dodgers. Of course, weekend, Dodgers took Game 1 6-3 in 10. That was the Freddie Freeman Grand Slam walk-off. And then on Saturday night, the Dodgers beat the Yankees 4-2. That was the game where the Yankees basically decided between the fourth, fourth and the ninth inning to do absolutely nothing and watch Yamamoto just mow them down after the Soto homer and nothing happened. And you saw also in that ninth, because earlier we talked about these two games, but there were some other details that we didn't get to.
Oh, yeah.
I thought in the ninth when they loaded the bases, the Volpe at bat the bases loaded was so pathetic. And I know we get on Judge for swinging at awful pitches. The ball that Volpe struck out on was like outside the other batter box, was basically the ball that Volpe struck out on in that at bat. Hideous at bat. And I actually, and they hit Trevino for Wells, who flew out on the first pitch. I didn't mind that because he hit it well. And I thought that was the best pitch he was going to get, was that fastball that he got. The first pitch from that guy. And he did give it a ride. He just hit it right at a guy.
He's playing tonight.
Now, tonight, he is playing tonight. I was just going to tell you, in terms of the lineup, they did take Wells out, and they have Trevino in. So that is the change for the Yankees. Now, I thought maybe they would sit Verdugo, but they just won't do it. They're not going to sit Verdugo. So it's not going to happen. He's in the lineup. Everything else the same for the Yankees. Tonight, as far as the Dodgers, Scotty, Ohtani is in there, which we'll get to in a moment, and not many changes there for them. They have Lux Hernandez and Edmund hitting at the bottom. Let's start Yankees and Dodgers with, of course, the Yankee manager, Aaron Boone, down 0-2, heading back to the Bronx. What are you going to do? This wasn't going to be easy. It's the World Series.
What are your big takeaways from this game in terms of things to build on or potentially improve on in Game 3? What are the big things you're thinking about?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in a game where we really got shut down there in the middle innings, you know, our compete to the very end was really good. We gave ourselves a chance to get right back in it and even win that game, you know, off a really good reliever. So I love the at-bats there in the end, the compete, the fight. I thought even Trevi got off a good swing off Vesia. So we just got to, you know, no one said it's going to be easy. It's a long series, and we need to make it a long series now.
Not a long
series.
But,
you know, we won't flinch. It's we just got to keep at it.
I swear to God, if they don't win tonight, I'm going to start breaking stuff. I mean, to tell you, you have no idea how angry I get. I'm going to have another heart attack.
I know he loves doing all that compete and the at-bats and that stuff.
Whatever.
Like,
you and I in are the back ninth, hating that's, him, unless they win tonight.
In the ninth, maybe I could see that. But, like, those at-bats from the fourth to the eighth inning were so lifeless. They were so – they didn't even challenge Yamamoto in any of those at-bats. Like, they just kept – weak ground balls to second base, and sure, like you want to do the old...
Like they wanted it to be a fast game, like in the middle of July or August, like a two-hour game.
Right.
Let's just get our at-bats and get out of here and go out.
It was like they had somewhere to be, which is usually not the calling card for this Yankee team at all. We know these struggles of Aaron Judge. 199 career average with 85 strikeouts in 55 postseason games. He actually was voted the MLBPA Player of the Year, which he found out about over the weekend. That stuff doesn't matter when you're in the World Series. It's perform or no good. Here is Judge on coming back to the Bronx.
Home down 0-2, but talk about the position you're in now coming back in front of your home fans and what's expected to be a crazy scene Monday night.
Oh, we're excited. The fans are going to be rowdy. No, they're going to have our back, you know, from the first pitch all the way to the ninth. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Wish we were, you know, going home up two, but this is the spot we're in. We got a tough team that can, you know, handle any adversity.
Well,
listen, anything that comes out of his mouth right now, I just can't absorb it because he's been so awful. I have never in my life, I have to tell you, what do you have? 144 RBIs, 58 home runs. He's going to win the MVP. And it's like the night I told you I had 36. And we lost. It doesn't matter that you have all those numbers when you don't get it done when it matters. If you don't win, you're in the World Series and you can't get a hit. You can't. All you do is strike out every single time you're up. I don't care about his MVP. I don't care about his above 44 to the 8 homers at all.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver High just told me that the guy that made the Dwayne Wade statue is going to offer Juan Soto more money than the Yankees to leave New York.
There's...
And he's going to take the offer to become the new statue maker in South Florida. But also, the Dodgers are rumored to have interest in Soto. And the way they pay Ohtani like a couple million a year, and then when he retires, they're going to give him $600 million to go to the Far East. And retire with all of his money without paying a penny in taxes in California or in America. That's what they're going to do with Soto. And then he can hide all of his money in the Dominican Republic, right down by the beach, boy.
It would not stun me if that ended up being the end result of all of this. There was a report that the Dodgers are expected to be in the Soto bidding this offseason. Soto's hitting .350 in the playoffs with four homers and nine RBIs. And he was the only guy who had really good at-bats on Saturday
He's
night.
He's their best player.
He's their best player, all-around player. Now, I will say this about him, though, and I thought this came up a few times Friday and Saturday night. He's a great hitter, a great hitter. For a guy who wants $700 million, he is a butcher in right field. He makes some plays out there that are very suspect. He allowed that triple to happen on the first Dodger run on Friday night, booting that ball out in right field. Where was he? How about the play Saturday night where he's that ball that fell between him and Rizzo out on the foul line? He's supposed to call Rizzo off there. Like, you're the outfielder. You got Rizzo trying to make a backwards catch like he did. Like, can you? He's not the best. He's got a great arm, and he can throw runners out. I don't deny that.
Right, right.
He leaves. He makes some suspect plays out in right field.
Fair enough. I agree. But he's still.
But I'd still give him $700 million.
Better than anyone on the Yankees.
I'd still give him the money. I'm just saying. Can we not butcher that ball out in right field?
Have you ever seen a guy have at bats where he stares down the pitcher and talks Shaq to him about, you can't get me out with any of your five pitches. Throw any one of them, I'm hitting it. You cannot get me out.
No.
And then I love how he humiliates umpires because he has such a great eye. He knows when they're wrong on pitches off the plate. And the umps hate him because the umps know they suck. The umps in baseball are so awful with their balls and strike calls. And he knows when they're wrong. And he looks at him like, are you nuts? And then he never humiliates him. He just looks at him like, you know that ball wasn't a strike, right? Like, really, right? And then the guy's like, all the umps are so testy. And then they want to hook you. The bottom line is, he's the best player on the Yankees by 10 times better than anyone else.
I don't disagree. And by the way, since you said the word umpire, that guy on Friday night behind the plate was a disgrace.
That guy was
a disgrace. It was his first. How does that guy who was in the bottom third of the ranked umpires this year? That's what he was.
How's he working third. The World Series?
He's never worked the World Series before. He's in the bottom third ranked umpires, and he's behind the plate for game one of the World Series? Yeah.
That strike zone
was pathetic on Friday night. All right, Ohtani, of course, with the shoulder injury, left the game on Saturday night after he dove into second base.
I wish his arm fell off. You think I'm kidding? When he went down, I went, oh, thank God, there's an opening. There's an opening now for the Yankees.
But like I said, he did nothing the first two games, really. They lost those two games, and Ohtani did nothing. Like,
I bet he knocks one into – he's going to hit a subway train going by the stadium.
I was just going to say to you, he's in the lineup tonight. All they've done is talk about this guy's injury for the last 2 days, he'll probably hit a ball. He'll hit the four train over to right center field wall going by. That's what he'll do. He'll go and he'll hit this night. Here's Roberts. About his injury and how he touch and go. He's going to be fine. Watch. He'll go 3-for-4 tonight.
Is this more of a pain tolerance and comfort thing for him at this point?
It will be. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
It's a pain tolerance.
How do you kind of balance, like, if he's able to go, is it almost going to be like a Freddie situation where you guys have to monitor it day by day depending on how he's feeling, or kind of how do you look at just his availability for the rest of the series right now?
I think it's just, honestly, it's just kind of per his tolerance. That's just what it is. So I guess you can put it in the Freddie bucket, but... You know,
the Freddie
guys
bucket.
Have had
Freddie
this before and played, and again, it's just everyone's tolerance.
How compromised do you think he might be playing?
I don't see him being compromised.
It's
the left shoulder, which is the back shoulder. So I don't see how that affects his hitting. If he's able to go, I really don't.
If he's able to go, he's going. And they're doing all this. He didn't have a great first two games. Now, when he does have a good game,
now he's crippled. All you're gonna
hear about is, what a gutsy effort from Ohtani. I mean, that shoulder injury.
Honestly,
he missed so much time.
Davis and Smoltz. Let me just say this about John Smoltz.
He's had a bad series.
Like Saturday night, he talked about Friday night so much on Saturday night, I thought it was Sunday. I mean, he talked about it so much, I didn't know what day it was anymore. He just wouldn't shut up. At one point, I tweeted out, shut the F up already about Friday night. All right.
I mean, I saw that.
Like an hour and a half talking about Friday night. Just wouldn't stop talking about Friday night. Oh, Smoltz is so painful. Oh, my God. I mean, he's so far up their arse, the Dodgers' arse. And Joe Davis, Christ, he does play by play. What's next? Stan Kasten's going to do the fifth inning? I mean, honestly.
It was.
Is Scully coming back from the dead? What about Fernando? Will he be there tonight? Honest to Christ.
Smoltz and Davis are tough. They're a tough listen. They're a tough listen. They're a very tough listen. We will come back, and I will give you all the numbers that we need for tonight. What does that include? The numbers for tonight's game, Buehler against Clark Schmidt. I've got the updated series numbers for you. I have got the updated MVP numbers for you. And how about this? Not one, not two. but three tater picks for game three tonight as we need to go over the wall, up, 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 and away in the Bronx at the Boogie Down. Let's get it tonight in the big yard for the Yankees and the
Lou, grab the Maalocks.
Oh, need it. Need it. Tater time tonight. Let's go. Gotta have it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So here we go. Game three tonight at the Boogie Down in the Zoo on River Ave. Can the Yankees come alive after getting their ass handed to them in Chavez Ravine, down 2-0 in the series, and the next three are in the Bronx?
Well, let's go. That will start tonight over there on River Avenue. It'll be Clark Schmidt and Walker Buehler in game number three. Yankees minus 146 tonight. Dodgers plus +124, healthy total of 8.5. Yankees, you lay the run and a half on the run line at plus +138. Do the Yankees make it 2-1? I say yes.
They got
tonight. They win. Yes,
they got to. They just absolutely have to. Like no matter what. Like if they don't win tonight, I mean, just fold up shop.
Fold up shop, indeed. And we don't want them to do that because then tomorrow won't be fun if they're down 3-0 as we get ready for game four tomorrow night. We want to have a little juice here for this series. Speaking of the series in itself, if you're a believer, Scotty, that the Yankees will win four of the next five games, they are plus +360 to do that. Dodgers minus -480 to win the series. So Yankees plus +360. At this point, I need a little bit more than that to win four out of five, to be quite honest with you.
Those numbers are staggering, but I do have spew news. Giselle is pregnant.
Really? How about that?
That didn't take long.
Spew news. That is spew news, all right. I guess, what was that? The tennis instructor?
Guy.
Oh, that's right. So there you go. Congrats to Giselle.
There it is. Got her pregnant, allegedly. Hello.
Updated odds.
How's that going for you, Tom?
Tom's traveling the country doing games on Fox.
Worse,
he loves
man,
it.
With your
he loves
smoke
it. He didn't want to be home.
Pregnant.
Didn't want to be home.
In a year.
Obviously, she wasn't done. He was. That might have been part of the problem. You never know. Wasn't finished. Here we go. Updated World Series MVP odds. Freddie Freeman, look at this. Minus -125. Of course, he's homered in the first two games. Stanton, Soto, Edmund. Look at Aaron Judge, 20-1. Now, I got to tell you, we have sat here and smashed Judge all day long, as we should. He's been awful in the postseason. He's been awful in the first two games. I'll say this. He was the favorite before the series start. He was like plus +200. He's 20-1. If he goes, and like you said, hits a whole bunch of homers and drives in a ton of runs the next couple nights and ties this series at two, he'll be right back up there with Freeman. That's a fat number for Judge at 20-1.
I hope that happens, and I really do, and I don't see it because I have never seen a guy missing pitches worse than this guy for a superstar. I mean, they're like 2 feet off of his bat. He is literally nowhere. Like, he's an automatic out. He's literally automatic. I don't know who's worse, Wells or him. Like, Wells is such an automatic out. I've never seen a guy strike out faster than this guy, Wells. I don't care what anyone says. Great catcher, all the rest. No, he's not. He's not great at anything. He's awful. And he's got a nice mustache. Congratulations. But I think Judge has been worse than him. Worse than him. So I don't see how it's going to happen. Now, if he hits five home runs in the next 3 days, I will eat the biggest crow sandwich ever. Hoagie City. I mean, I will go to Jersey Mike's right now. I mean, get me the steak sandwich. And you know I don't like cheese. It's for
load
girls.
Him up.
I'll load it up with cheese and onions and jalapenos. I'll eat it right
load
here
it
on
up.
This guy.
Load it up. Tater time for tonight. Game three in the Bronx. Let's go. What do we got here? I think Juan Soto stays hot, especially against Walker Buehler. And I still love the number. In fact, I seen this morning trickle at some place up to 450, 425, 390 is where it's at now. 390 for Soto tonight, the homer, Walker Buehler, and anybody in that bullpen. I'm in next. Clark Schmidt seems like the type of guy that Max Muncy always homers against. Plus 500 is also a really juicy number for Muncy. Plus 500, him for the Dodgers side. And I'm taking a shot here because not many guys have seen Walker Buehler. Jazz has. He's 3-for-5 off of Walker Buehler in his career. I'm going to take a deep shot here and think that Jazz maybe catches something over that right field wall at plus 680.
Stanton, I think Freeman, and I think that little P.
Enough Edmund of Freeman.
Keeps hitting home runs. This guy, Edmund.
Enough of Freeman.
Oh, my God.
Get him out of here.
Again.
Enough of this guy.